down to save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to robbie@mightyhouse.net or call into the show at 877-711-5611. From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to Mighty House.
I'm Ron Cowgill. The Mighty House team is back. Join us on Facebook Live right now, brought to you in part by First Northern Credit Union. First Northern Credit Union is the only community credit union in Evanston. Visit them at fncu.org to learn more about the benefits of a credit union membership in your community. Also in part by AWM Construction, awmroofing.com for all your roofing and gutter needs. And a new one that we've just added, waiting for this to cycle, is Fast Signs. And you can go to Fast Signs right on the WCGO website and get more information right there. They are going to be handling all the swag for WCGO, I believe. So that is, you're going to have all kinds of fancy things.
Go to 80@fastsigns.com or 847-675-1600.
Excellent. And we're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Video clips of the show are available at MightyHouse.net and on our Mighty House YouTube channel. And you can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is @MightyHouse. Of course, you can give us a call and get your questions answered right now on the Your Name Here helpline, 877-711-5611. Are you looking for a luxury kitchen at an affordable price? Don't go any further than alinecabinets.com. That's A-L-I-N-E cabinets.com. Okay. So, for those of you that joined us through the break there on Facebook Live, you got an interesting little tiny house discussion. We were talking at the end of the tip of the week about a whole community they're building in Florida, and that is going to be a tiny house. So are you buying the land, and or are you going to, is this going to be more like a mobile home deal where
it sounds like it's more like a mobile home thing in a way, because what they're doing is Cape Coral has said that you to do a tiny house development, you have to be on a minimum of 3 acres. But again, this is just an article in the paper. It's not Cape Coral's website. So the density and all that, I don't know. So I don't know how many per acre you can have. I would imagine 6 would be max, or maybe 4. That's a quarter acre is a big lot for a tiny house. So
yes,
I would say 6 would probably be like a doable number. But anyway, so they're saying 610 square feet. So these are actually giant tiny homes.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
I mean, it's 610 square feet. That's actually fairly large.
Yeah.
For a tiny house, and they have to be on foundations.
Okay, so they have to be bolted down.
Okay, so they do. But seriously, you could actually have a house for 30 grand.
Yeah.
35,000. You know what I mean? Instead of a $300,000 mortgage for 30 years, you're done in four.
Yeah, two. In New Orleans, they're
it's
doing
less
the
than
exact
a car.
Same thing.
Yeah.
From all the places from Katrina, because they're still recovering from that.
Right.
So some neighborhoods, they are putting 6
on a lot.
And then, they're like you said, they're selling them for like $30,000 or $40,000. But they're houses. They still may be 2-bedroom or what have you. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, what more do you need from that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going back towards the Chicago bungalow, it sounds like. That's what the Chicago bungalow was. It was a 2-bedroom, maybe 3, but most of the time they were 2-bedroom with a kitchen, dining room, and a family room, and you're done.
And 9 kids.
Yeah, 9 kids.
Yeah.
I don't know how people did that then. I mean, not only the cost of raising like 8-9 kids, but how you lived in those Chicago bungalows and raised 9 kids plus.
It was with just you lived amazing. In a Chicago bungalow.
with one bathroom. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Which I think is one of the reasons why everybody went into space. They're like, we were so confined with my brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
If I want a house, I'm going to put you on the other side. You way over by there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, But so they're actually looking for, they actually said they'd rather do developments of 10 acres, that three is a little small, because the big concern is property values. So if you own a regular size house and you happen to be next to this 3 to 10 acres, you know, what's it going to do to your property value? You know, is it going to pull yours down? It's surely not a comp.
Right.
So I don't know that it would really hurt it.
But it is, but as again, like we were talking during the break, there is, when's the stigma of living in a mobile home park going to go away? And not, what's the difference between a tiny house park and a mobile home park?
Well, I think it's upkeep for the most part. I mean, you go to a trailer park most of the time, and you automatically think dingy. You automatically think that
no toofuses.
Exactly. You automatically think that this gnome has been just a bunch of hicks here for 18 years. Uh-huh. It's already sun blasted and everything else from it. So it's what people are seeing about these tiny homes. Obviously, it's marketing.
Yeah.
But it's the upkeep. They look like cute little regular houses as opposed to just a rectangle with a skirt.
An aluminum block. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that's part of it. The other thing is, I mean, down here, I don't think you have the stigma of the mobile home park or trailer park here being seasonal, we have them all over the place.
Yeah.
There's a place up the road from me called Silver Lakes. It's an RV park. So you're not allowed to have a double wide. You can bring in a half and you can put a half an addition on it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But, you know, basically you're buying the lot, and the lots go for like $150,000.
Wow.
You know, and there's a waiting list to get in there, and they have a 9-hole golf course. They have an absolutely gorgeous community center, or, you know what I mean, clubhouse.
Yeah.
But it's all mobile homes and trailers. Huh. So there isn't such a stigma down here with it, you know, and even all the way through the Keys. It's just a cost-effective way to live.
Right.
But I totally agree with Sonar. The other side of that problem is, you know, if you don't maintain it. Silver Lakes maintains the property. You pay your HOA fee.
Okay.
It's the unregulated ones, you know, so when they do this development tiny house, they're going to have a homeowners association. They will probably cut all the grass, maintain all of the, common areas, and you're going to pay $200-$300 a month for that. And a lot of people like that. You mean I don't have to cut my grass? Just like up north, you want to plow snow all through your complex?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
So I could see one of those tiny home, you know, communities like that, but having a community garden, having a community solar array, you know, maybe a wind turbine to power that whole, park area.
It may not be all your power. It's supplemental.
Right.
But it's doing something.
Right. And, that could be helping to, take care of the whole community, too. And if you build them with, you know, in a passive house way, or you do the net zero type of situation, then, you know, maybe that's another way to go at it. And it changes the appearance of that community then too, you know, that of community.
But
of
I mean, between East Naples and Rock here, there's quite a bit of land, and there's biggest problem we face down here right now is affordable housing for people that work in the service industry.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, and the construction industry for that matter.
Yeah.
You know, so if you could put together a tiny house community and either rent or sell them, you know what I mean? It would be a huge benefit to everybody. But again, it goes that whole zoning thing. Cape Coral's spearheading it up there. But down here, I probably would have one hell of an uphill battle to get anything done with it.
With that type of situation.
Yeah. And yet I could have everything factory built and bolted to a foundation. You know what I mean? It would be so stupid easy.
Yeah.
But nobody wants, not in my backyard.
So then what point is it that stigma come back of being a slumlord?
Right.
Because, I mean, that's...
I think if you do it properly up front and you have the HOA where you have no choice, you know, I don't care if you're renting it or whatever, but you got to pay in at the HOA. So we're going to take care of that. You have, and if you've ever lived in a gated community, they have retired people sitting on the board who like to do nothing more than complain about your grass being too tall, the bush being too far to the left, the paint color's wrong.
Yep.
You know, God forbid you leave your garage door open after 6 p.m. You know, they're like little freaking cops.
It's like they're getting a kickback like Crime Stoppers or something.
Yeah.
I was visiting a friend of mine in my truck. I got a 3/4 ton long bed, right? Crew cab.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit anywhere in Florida for the most part.
Right.
So I could not park in this driveway. I pulled across the end of the driveway, right?
Uh-huh.
Parallel to the street at the end of the driveway. Was not blocking the sidewalk. They stuck a big orange sticker on my truck that wasn't like a cling. I had to scrape the damn thing off. And it was a warning from the condo police that I shouldn't park on the driveway parallel to the street.
Barney Fife came out with his one bullet and told
big time. I'm like, I wish I had caught that son of a gun. I would have stick that thing on my truck.
Man, sounds like you're already driving a tiny home.
He is driving a tiny house.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got my big old truck parked outside with my shower and my bunk beds in the back.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So
when I had the company, it was a big thing. You had to put all the tools in the back, carry my lumber. You know what I mean? That's a good work truck. I love that truck.
Yep. That's the way to go, brother. Go big or go home. It's the way it is.
I have to play the truck song now.
Yeah, there you go. I will play that coming back.
The next thing is the tiny trucks.
Yes. We'll be back right after this with more truck talk on Mighty House.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
You've been with me through thick and thin, and never once complained. Together in the sunshine and the rain. And when the world falls on my shoulder, you always pick me up. You're more than just my sweetheart. You're my best friend, you're my truck. Well, it's not that I don't love my wife, I love my children too. But they're not as dependable as you. And as long as you are with me, I'll never have to walk. But what I love most about you is the fact that you don't talk.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find the links at MightyHouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call on the Your Name Here hotline, we'll answer all your questions. 877-711-5611. And if somebody wanted that newsletter, Rich, how can they do that?
You just go to MightyHouse.net, click on the contact page.
Mm-hmm.
Put in your first, last name, your email address, and click submit. You'll only get one email a week from us. I promise you that.
That's it.
And it's just going to let you know it's going to be on the show. That's it.
That's all it is. Nothing more, nothing less. It's just a quick check-in.
If I signed up for that, would that be the only email you sent me?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And just like all good email things, you can go to the bottom and click unsubscribe.
Yep. Was it Kathleen that was on?
Catherine.
He's not answering
yet. Hey, Catherine, you're on Mighty House.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. I have a question for you, and the question is I need window screens, like half screens.
Okay.
What's the best place like to go?
Do you have the frames now and they just need to be replaced, or do you need all new screens?
All new screens, because they're pretty short, and they're kind of still kind of in the wind, you know.
Right.
Your local Ace Hardware will be able to take care of that. They actually have the channel to make up frames. So if you have the frames, even if they got some damage, they could make new frames if they'll rescreen them for you.
Yep.
Do I take the old screens there? Or are they just?
Yes. Take out all of your old screens, and I would mark them so that you know which window they go back into. There's nothing worse than trying to figure out which one goes, because with an older home, one's going to be 22 and a half, the other one's going to be 22 and three quarter, and you're going to be fighting trying to figure out. So make a map, mark them windows one, you know, all the way around the house, and then make sure you mark the frames when you take them out so you know where they go. It'll make your life a lot easier.
Are you talking about like measuring them like as well or no?
Yes, if you have to measure them, then you would measure them and mark them that way too and number them.
Right.
And then
would they put them in for me as well?
Some Ace Hardwares will. It depends on where you're located.
At Ted's in Berto. I live in a condo.
Oh, okay. There's an Ace in Edgebrook that might be able to help you out with that. And they'll make them and get them installed for you then too.
Right.
So that's the easiest way to do it.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, have a good day. Bye.
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 and she
Kathleen
said that
sounds
too.
Like it's a sweetheart, huh?
Yeah.
Essentially screened for, I believe, her cat. Too. Is there a certain type of screen that you want to get for animals versus it's going to be leveled up? Is it plastic versus wire, that kind of thing?
So there's also a company called Security Screens, and they're in the northwest side of Chicago. Can't remember where they are. But their screens are so tough, you can't cut them with a knife. So they're actually made for security screens, and they're made out of Kevlar or something. But obviously they're thicker.
That's our super screen.
Yeah, so you can't... You can see through it, but you can tell it's thicker and heavier. It's not like the clear view where you can see through the screen.
Is
you
it
can't
wire
even...
or Kevlar?
Yeah, it's a Kevlar.
No, most all of it's either fiberglass or Kevlar now, so you don't do any aluminum screens or metal screens really. But like everything's common down here because of the lanai. So my lower section we had done with what's called pet screen.
Okay.
So it's a little heavier gauge. But the dogs can jump up on it. Their nails won't scratch it, you know, that kind of thing. So that survived through the hurricane without a scratch. The upper stuff all tore off, but we needed new stuff anyway. So then we had that replaced. And it's kind of funny. They make Super Screen, which is the Kevlar.
Right.
But it's heavier and it holds more water, which you won't think, people don't think about this. But when it's raining, like in a hurricane, if it gets all wet, you know, closes off the holes.
Right.
Well, the wind resistance increases and it can actually cause your screen cage to fail. And that's why a lot of them fall down because they had them rescreened with Super Screen when they were only engineered for regular screen.
Got it. So, yeah, the wind resistance doesn't matter.
What size do you guys
you don't think about it. So,
to keep bugs out but still have that wind resistance being lower?
Well, they make a screen called it's a 2020. It's a bug screen, but it'll keep the no-see-ums out, the sand fleas. Because it's that small, but usually only need it at the bottom, you know, the bottom row. So it's crazy down here. I'm surprised they don't have more, like, sort of screen cages up north just because of skeeters.
Right. And
you
we
know
just,
what I mean?
Yeah, but we use regular fiberglass screen most of the time when we make or rebuild our screens. Unless the screen frame was made for the aluminum, then we'll put the aluminum back in. Sometimes you can get a new spline, the spline that you put the screen in, get a fatter spline and then change it out and put the fiberglass where aluminum was. But in most cases, if you had aluminum frames, you got to put them back with aluminum. Or if you have aluminum screening, you got to put aluminum screening back in them.
Okay.
The problem with that is they crinkle, they get creases in them. It's a lot harder to get them straight.
So not just like the framework of the porch and then sandwiching another piece of wood against it and making like a almost like a friction type of seal.
Right.
It's actually framed with the metal, almost like you would put a window pane in. Almost.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. They have they have an aluminum groove, and then you have this rubber like string that you put in there.
Mm-hmm.
So you lay the screen over it, and then you roll that spline, that screen bead in there, and that's what secures and holds the screen into the frame. So.
And if you buy the cheap roller, it'll actually cut the screen for you.
Yes.
And hopefully it's not on the inside, because then you got to pull it out, move it over, and do it again.
Yes. That's
and if you don't put something like for your screen door, if you don't put spreaders in, as you pull it in, the door goes like this, you know, and you get this hourglass design, so then it doesn't keep bugs out at all.
Correct.
Yeah. Take rescreening stuff to a professional.
Yes.
No,
Ace is inexpensive.
I just go online and get those ones where they have the magic. Magnets just clip right back over.
Yes,
I'm done.
That works pretty good too.
I'm done. I
want one of those for my garage. I want one of those for my garage door, because that when you're out working in the garage and stuff to have that that'd be fun. And they make that in like a roll screen too, don't they, Rich?
Yes, they do.
So It just rolls down.
Well, and down here, not just down here, but even up north, I used to, with the Marvin windows and that, yeah. We used to use a company called Phantom Screens.
Yes.
And those were cool because, you know, you'd open up your door and you just pull this thing down. And what really made them great, or pull it across, I should say.
Yeah.
What was great is if you had dogs or the kids ran into them, the bottom was just in a groove. It would just knock it loose.
Uh-huh.
So all you had to do was, you know, close the thing and then pull it back out and it was back in the groove. So
right.
That's a great way to do them. And then they were, you know, built into the frame. So it wasn't like a screen door in your way all the time.
Right. I could just see somebody driving through it though. You know, if you had it on your garage door, and they're so used to just pulling in the garage and not seeing it. And all of a sudden, boom, they come driving right through your screen.
Yeah.
That'd be a pain, but.
Well, then all you got to do is put a line or something on it, you know,
oh, yeah,
spray like, paint. Yeah. Do not enter on the screening, you know, and then.
Oh, maybe like,
they
maybe
only do
like
it
a
once.
Heavy curtain.
Uh huh.
Where you have something. A roller in the front,
uh-huh.
Sandbags on the bottom holding it taut for you.
There you go.
And then you just crank it down.
Yeah, there it is. Now he's got it. Now he's got it. All right. Hey, Rich, you ready for this?
Yes, sir.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
All right, Rich, this is from Ron in Lombard. I have a front walkway that's about 20 feet long that I need to replace. Would you recommend concrete or brick pavers? Also, do you know anybody that does this in the western suburbs?
Does he have a concrete walk now? Is that what it said?
I have a front walkway. It's about 20 feet long. It needs to be replaced. I can only assume it's concrete. But should he use brick or should he report in concrete?
It's really up to his budget.
Yeah.
So quite honestly, I mean, if it's a concrete walk right now, the easiest thing to do is to pull it out, reform it, pour a new concrete walk.
Yes.
If you're going to do brick pavers or anything, it needs to be taken out, but you also have to dig out about another 8 inches because you need to get in 6 inches of gravel, 2 inches of setting sand,
mm-hmm.
and then your pavers, which is another 2.25 inches. So, I mean, you're digging down, you know, like say 10 inches from where the sidewalk is now. And that costs money.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? So it's a lot cheaper to just pull the sidewalk out and just form it up and go again.
Do you guys like those silicone, I guess, patterns for pavers and then just kind of do a combination?
The concrete stamp?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could do those. Those things are pretty cool.
No, I like stamped concrete. I had a stamped concrete patio up at my house up there in Tinley, you know, before I moved, we did one. And I did it more as a test. My concrete guy and I,
mm-hmm.
you know, I said, okay, let's go learn how to do this and I'll be the guinea pig, you know, and I'll cover the material and labor,
right.
you know what I mean? And let's go figure it out so we could come up with a price per square foot because it was real popular. Anyway, it absolutely awesome, held up great. You do have to reseal it every year if you like the color to stay and not get all trashy.
Right.
But I loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was cool looking.
Yeah, and it gives you the thing with putting in real brick, one, it's the expense. It's going to be more expensive than pouring concrete. The mm-hmm. other side of it is you have more maintenance. Oh, we are at a break already? Look at that, how time flies. We'll have to cover this on the other side of the break then. All right, we'll finish talking about patios and brick walkways right after this. You are listening to
Mighty House. This is Mighty House.
Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on.
This is Mighty House.
Join us on Facebook Live right now, brought to you in part by First Northern Credit Union. First Northern Credit Union is the only community credit union in Evanston. Visit them at fncu.org to learn more about the benefits of a credit union membership in your community. Also brought to you in part by AWM Construction. You can just go to awmroofing.com for all your roofing and gutter needs. And, of course, the latest one is, come on, change, AWM.
Fast signs
for Lincolnwood.
There you go. Fast signs. I was waiting for it to rotate on Facebook Live.
847-675-1600. Yep. Tell them WCGO sent you.
That's right. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call on the Your Name Here helpline, 877-711-5611, we'll get all your questions, home improvement questions answered. Maybe we could talk a little automotive, but that's really like, you know, muscling in on Richie Z's neighborhood there. So if you got an automotive question, call tomorrow at noon. Richie will help you out. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know.
Well, yeah, we don't really know anything anyway.
We can screw it up. We know how to take it apart. We can take it apart really good. And whether or not we can put it back together and make it work again, well, you know.
No. We can put them back together. It's the fine adjustments that can be a little tricky.
I'm sure there's a YouTube video.
Oh, yeah, there is a YouTube video. But I always like the thing,
like we were talking about, even when you're in the trades, there are certain things that you need years of experience to sort of draw on to do, to make an adjustment, to do this or that, you know, and like I said, my younger brother's mechanic, and he can literally just, you pull up in front of him, he can hear what's wrong with it. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you got a vacuum leak. I'm like, where, you know, and he'll grope around and go, yep, got it. And thing'll idle up. How do you hear that? It's the experience.
Yep.
I can tell you how to look for a vacuum leak, but good luck.
Right. Yeah. That's part of it. Yeah. So that's cool. All right.
No, I did the same thing over at Murphy's Bleachers. They were trying to get their sound system going on, and I was like, well, that's a 50 hertz tone you guys got flowing through here. What are you going to do about it? Like, oh, well, we're working on it. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to eat my sandwich and just hang out.
And see if you guys fix it, right?
Exactly.
All right.
Yes.
Well, cool. All right. The Small Business Advocacy Council, the SBAC, is a nonpartisan, member-driven organization that promotes the success of small business through political advocacy, networking support services, and educational programs. The SBAC is dedicated to improving economic conditions for small to mid-sized businesses and being a voice for small business. For more information, and to make a donation if you wish, you can visit their website. It is sbacil.org. And that's sbacil.org. All right, there we go. Let's go back to our concrete walk versus a brick walk.
Pavers.
Pavers. I think this applies to driveways and patios also, everything we're talking about here. But when you do all that, you're doing additional work to get the brick pavers in. I think aesthetically it looks better than concrete. You're going to spend more money to get that look. But it's also more maintenance because you have all the gray. Even if you use the polymer sand between the brick, eventually that kind of washes out and wears away. But then you start getting, you know, weeds that grow up through there and everything else. So if you're not prepared for that look of having moss in all of your what you would call grout joints, then you're not going to like it. You're going to constantly having to maintain it where you just don't have that issue with concrete.
Well, and I'll be honest, the other problem you really run into is the frost, the freeze-thaw cycles in Chicago. You know, we get away with a lot of junk down here because throughout the year, we might hit a super low of 35, right? That's like we're all freezing at 32 degrees.
Right.
The hottest it gets here is 95. It has not hit 100 degrees here in 20-some years.
Wow.
So that temperature differential is nothing compared to Chicago. You guys literally have 150-degree temperature swings from winter to summer.
Yep.
So that just wreaks havoc on anything. And you put it in the ground, if you don't have proper drainage, thus you need 8 inches or 6 inches of coarse gravel for that water to get into, because if it freezes, there goes your walk, there goes your driveway. So concrete will float better. So, you know, you do a driveway or your concrete walk, you throw a little bit of mesh in there, you know, the 6x6 welded wire fabric. It may crack, but it's not going to move. It'll heave when it freezes. It'll drop when it thaws. You're good to go.
Right. And they have a new fiberglass.
I would recommend concrete. To answer a second question, I don't have a contractor in the west suburbs. I would hit NARI and call a GC. Somebody will hook you up.
Yep.
NARIChicago.org.
There you go. NARIChicago.org. And with the concrete, I don't know if you've been using the fiberglass reinforcement.
Mm-hmm.
We dump a bag on our
floors, yeah.
We dump a bag of that in there. And I don't know if you've tried to break one of those up yet. Those things are a mother. They do not want to come apart. It is unbelievable.
No, that stuff works.
How strong that stuff is. So, you know, the concrete guy, when he gets out there with the truck and he's got the mixer, he just takes the bag, opens it up, dumps it in there, turns that thing on high for a minute, mixes it all in there, and that is unbelievably strong.
Finishers don't like it.
No, because you get little fibers.
It's hard to do a soft broom without grabbing that stuff and making it like a soft fuzz.
Yes. Yeah. So if you did something like that with the wire mesh, it's going to stay there forever. You're never going to have a problem.
What about those larger pavers, the circles, the ones that are just almost essentially a dot path type
right.
of thing? Is that, do you act like more like concrete or more like pavers?
It's a paver then. You would still set that in a gravel base, sand, and then you, when you're done with that, then you fill in around that with grass if you wanted to have grass between
them. I think though, like in this case, because I've done that in the past, you know, in my old houses where they're just stepping stones, like a little walkway.
Yeah.
So we didn't, you just scrape the grass away, drop them down and throw grass right back around them, and they will move, you know, and get uneven, but it's more of a stepping. I wouldn't do it for a main walk.
Right. Yeah. And if you did, you might want to keep it more even and do the base to it, so that, that way they do stabilize and stay there a little bit better.
And you said the mortar.
Yeah, we always just did it around a garden
too.
Or something.
Yeah. You said it was a sand mortar as opposed to the regular concrete
polymer
type
sand.
Yeah, normally we used to just take play sand. After you got done with the putting your brick down, you would put sand down and sweep it into all the grooves and fill it all in. But then all that was fertilizer for everything to grow in.
Yeah.
So there's a polymer sand that once you put down in there and it gets wet, it bonds it all together and it seals it up like an epoxy. So now you don't get that growth coming through there as fast. It still happens, right. But...
So what if you did treat it like you were putting down, almost like if you were making a brick grill in your backyard, you would still put the mortar, you would still level it out. What if it's mortar throughout the bottom, pavers on top with the mortar in between?
Well, you can do that, but now you're pouring slab and then putting the brick on top of it, so you doubled your cost.
Yeah, that's you're doing the equivalent of a mud set then. So, and we do a lot of our pool decks, like on the super high-end homes, we will pour a slab, then put down Schluter Dietra, then do a mud set for your pool deck. It's the best way to go, so it doesn't move. But it is, like you just said, Ron, at least twice the money.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
So again, that's, everything goes back to budget. I mean, if this guy got a 20-foot walk, the problem he's got is that, you know, who wants to do a 20-foot walk? So trying to get a contractor who's out there trying to make money, you know, I don't know what walk's going for up there right now. I'd say $4.25, $5 a foot, maybe $5.50 a square foot to remove and replace.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's not a very big job.
No, that's what I mean. 20 feet... Do it right. Do it where it won't get stuff coming up. I mean, do it right. I mean, it's obviously relative.
Sure. Right.
But do it to the point where you're not getting stuff out growing up. It's almost like a combination. You still get the look of the pavers, but you get the security of pouring the crete.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, you could go that crazy if you want to, you know, and then.
Yeah.
Some people don't do any of that. They just buy the brick and they set it right in the dirt and go, you know, and it's fine. You know, it'll survive, but you're constantly going to be playing with it every spring, putting everything back level again. So
you're going to have that one brick like everybody does where you step on it and it shakes and it leverage and all that jazz.
Yeah. So, you know, that's all part of the deal. So, what's better is aesthetically what you like. They're all going to work, and it just comes down to maintenance. And to me, the concrete's going to be the least amount of maintenance, you know, moving forward. So once you do it, I think you're done. And you could do the stamped concrete thing if you want to have that brick look. Cost a little bit more, but then you've got the look of the brick without the additional expense, and then you also don't have the maintenance because it's still concrete. So. That part's all there. Oh, so I don't know. We didn't talk about this yet, Rich. Did you see the new tool that DeWalt came out with that I posted on Facebook?
Yes, the board stretcher.
The BS-1000.
Yes.
So.
It was well done.
Yes. Yeah. The BS-1000.
Changing the longitudinal strands in all of the stuff and.
Yeah, and it had the hopper that you put the extra, looked like sawdust, but it wasn't. It had a special name for
it. No, it was special stuff, And I love the fact that you can get 10 pounds of it in a 5-pound bag.
Right.
Yeah. It was extra value.
Yeah, it's extra value.
I was shocked. There was actually an article or something. I think it was on, like, I don't know, CNN, one of them. They were talking about that. How many companies, major corporations this year spent some sizable coin.
Yeah.
To do April Fool's stuff.
Yeah.
And there was quite a bit of it. And, you know, some of it's so funny because people just forget. You know what I mean? Like, it's not front of mind and they buy into it.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, well, I'll go get one of those.
Right. Yeah.
Other than the board stretcher, what have you guys sent people to get?
Oh, geez. A left-handed hammer.
Oh, in the van?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd always send them in the van to go get the board stretcher.
Board stretcher. That's the only ones you would get. And then because we do electrical work, so we have a tubing stretcher also.
Okay, yeah.
So
the wire stretcher.
Right, yeah. And then, so we have those kinds of things. Left-handed hammers,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I'm left-handed, go get my left-handed hammer.
The elbow grease.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, elbow grease is another good one. So, yeah.
I once sent a guy to the tool shed to go get our fallopian tubes.
How long did it take him before he came back?
It was a while. And then since we had to do a lot of paperwork, I also sent him out to sign the ID 10 Tango form.
Okay.
Which if you spell that out, it's idiot.
Uh-huh.
So, or
ID 10 Tango, yeah.
A bucket of Alpha 1 Romeo,
uh-huh.
which is air.
Right.
Yeah, and I've used that one on people. It's like, you know, I just go out there and get the bucket. You get the one that's full of sailboat fuel.
Uh-huh.
Sailboat fuel.
There you go.
I needed an empty bucket.
Well, since Robbie is off today out working, Sonar is going to take on Clutter Clarity, and that's going to be next, right after this. You are listening to
Mighty House. This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return. Here they come to save the day. This is Mighty House.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live, MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call on the Your Name Here hotline, 877-711-5611. You'll have a chance to win one of the fancy Dooley Bopper measuring tool bubbler notepads that we've got that say Mighty House on them right there. So
Mighty House multi-tool.
Yes, there you go. So Sonar is going to sit in for Robbie since she's off today, and you're going to do the Clutter Clarity. I think you need to change up the camera and come in here.
Find it. Well, Mark's asking if he's going to sing it with you.
I don't know. I don't know if Sonar sings or not.
I don't know if he does either.
Yeah, so we'll have to figure that out. But I don't know if he's got something like planned or what he's got going. But
no, it's just a question.
Oh, he's a poser. He's gonna come
he's
in here.
He's posing a question.
He's posing to be Robbie. Just do it, but he's gonna make us actually do the work.
Yeah.
See, I think that's what he's doing.
So what I do like though is that he did not give us any clue.
I wish
what it
I knew,
is, which is always better.
What was that, Rich?
We have no idea what he's going to ask, which I like even more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it. So he's going to plug in here so he can hear. There.
He already watered that part. It's not going to get any bigger.
Are you in?
Yeah, I got to make sure I'm back on the other side.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there you go. Okay, so here we go. We're going to do the Clutter Clarity thing right now. And where do we go? There it is. And hit play.
Oh, she does this too, right?
Yeah, she dances. Do you have a disarrangement disorder? Can't seem to get that jumbled hodgepodge pile of chaos in one place? Maybe it's time for a little disposal, a little cleanup, an eradication, evacuation, liquidation, and purgification. Here is Sonar sitting in for Robbie with a tip on how to put some neatness into your disorder. This is Clutter Clarity on Mighty House. There he goes. He's got it.
I don't know all the words.
I don't know any of them.
He's been listening to it for 10 years. He doesn't know it.
Only you can save me now from this misery. I've been lost in my own place, and I'm getting weary. How far is heaven? And I need to save my ways of living. How far is
is heaven. Lord, can you tell me?
All right, there we go.
Okay.
It's all you, Sonar.
Clutter clarity. I live in an apartment.
Okay.
So I don't have a lot of space like somebody would if they had a much larger house or the stuff that that Rich builds. I mean, what did you say, like 400,000 square foot houses?
Nah.
That's craziness.
No, there's 6,000-7,000 square foot.
Oh, okay.
6,000-7,000. Yeah. Well, it costs 6,000-7,000 feet under air, and then you have another 2,000 to 3,000 outdoor living.
Yes.
Man, and I bet they're all vaulted ceilings, too. So, I mean, because you got to use that 12, vertical 12 space, to too. Feet. So, yeah. So you're measuring houses in cubic feet.
Oh, that's even more.
Yeah, craziness. So, small. So, and who's got time to call the maintenance man all the time? And when is he going to show up? I mean,
right. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to bother calling the landlord.
Exactly. I can't go to the Home Depot. There should be an apartment depot
where
a bunch of people are sitting around going, "I ain't going to fix that."
Right.
So. So what are the five best tools that every person
should have in their drawer?
Should have in their drawer? Because clutter, I don't need clutter. I don't obviously don't need a giant circular saw or
sure
I don't
do.
Need. Well, I need one just because I'm a dude.
Right.
So I need more things to put power in my hands. But exactly. So what are the five? What do you guys think the five is? So I'll give you one, and then you guys can essentially go back and forth. Then.
All right, go.
I think the first three are simple.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Tape measure.
Tape measure.
Okay.
Hammer.
Yep.
And a 4-in-1 screwdriver.
No, you need the 15-in-1 screwdriver.
Okay.
Okay, fine. 15-in-1. That's
15-in-1. Okay. So a small drill with bits then.
Like a cordless drill.
Yeah, yeah.
Cordless.
A small cordless drill. What power? What amperage? Because there's no need for me to just like grab this giant impact drill if I'm only hanging shelves.
My boss was in she was in Lowe's Big Blue, and she got this little tiny electric screw gun.
Mm-hmm.
It's just on a tiny cord. It's pink. And she keeps it in that drawer, and it's great for just running screws.
Yeah.
I mean, she's not going out putting in anchor bolts, but you got to screw something together. She's got this little pinky thing, and it fits everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was $30.
Yeah,
I mean,
I've got a little pistol in the back.
Plenty of it's torque,
just
too.
Just a little guy. Yeah,
yep.
You're absolutely right.
Bosch, Milwaukee make those. Mm-hmm. They're the little, and they're lithium battery now, so you don't have to worry about you know, overcharging them or letting them sit, and then they don't work when you go for them.
Okay.
Because they're lithium batteries charged now. So
tape for measure.
So you have to get the bits, but they make drill bits that are, you know, quarter inch drive.
Yep.
So you don't need a chuck.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you can even
put
do
them
that.
In there. And for a typical homeowner, all you'd need is, you know, an 1/8 inch, 16, 3/32. You're not driving 1/2 inch holes through stuff with that.
Exactly. Right. So and if I am drilling anything, I'm drilling into drywall or something smaller than that. So, okay.
Right.
So I need measuring tape.
Yep.
Hammer.
Got it.
Drill.
Yeah, no.
Or a little gun, little pistol.
Regular hand-driven screwdriver.
Okay.
So now we got one tool left.
So you got two.
I would call it a mini square.
A square? Or should we get a saw? Yeah.
No, I think either a square with a level or like that. You know, a torpedo level.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Probably.
We need more.
You're only giving
five. It's an apartment.
No, the five we should have.
Yeah.
So I would say a level.
Five that I should have.
Right.
Everything else is kind of.
All right. So then I want to trade in the pistol gripped drill.
Okay.
For the combo kit where I get the drill, the little battery operated saw, the flashlight. Mm-hmm. And the sawzall.
And how's that going to fit in your junk drawer?
Exactly, yeah.
No. You can't. No, you got to have that stuff.
Okay.
Well, what do you mean?
The other thing is, an apartment owner might use a handsaw.
No one.
You can get a little handsaw. You get and my handsaws, I use them all the time.
Yeah.
It's easier to grab the handsaw than pull out the saw.
The fifth
cord.
One for
Even
me.
The cordless is a pain.
The fifth one for me would be a wrench.
You got to hold something down because you never know if it's going to be SAE or metric, and then it's
so
just all over.
You need
the place.
West Virginia fit all the crescent wrench.
Exactly. There you go.
Okay. Yeah, the multiple 16ths.
So that's five.
Yeah.
That's all five, right? So hammer, measuring,
A
little screw gun.
Okay.
Of course, if you get a good crescent. Little screw gun, you don't need the hammer. You can always use the butt end of the screw.
Yeah,
gun.
See, there you go. Or so the wrench. Room. The,
or the wrench. There you go. Yeah.
There's plenty of times on the boat where we have them holding wrenches on the wall. They're just there in case you got to tighten down a hatch or anything like that.
Right.
And
right.
So you had hammers everywhere.
Right.
Like, hey, I need to do this. Oh, there's one hanging on the wall.
Right.
Well, that's a wrench.
No.
Everything's a hammer if you try hard enough.
Right. It's also a sawzall right. if you really want to. You know, that wrench or hammer can also be a sawzall.
Exactly.
Bash right through the wall and bust a hole.
My dad always, you know, that's what screwdrivers are, chisels, punches, and pry bars.
Yes. Yes.
No, that's great. And then next week it'll be the 10 tools at the house.
Oh, yeah. See, but I already.
Well done, Sonar. That was actually an awesome and fun conversation there.
Yeah. Five is hard. Five is really hard because. See, I'd want the circular saw,
got a
too.
A tiny place.
Yeah. I don't know.
So, I think before I joined you on this, didn't you guys do a contest for junk drawer pictures? If we didn't, then I think we should.
No. No, I don't think we have.
I think we need to do a junk drawer contest.
Oh, yeah. And then Robbie can pick the junkiest.
Yes. We'll need photographs of your junk drawer.
Yes. There you go. Send them to Robbie at mightyhouse.net.
Absolutely.
I love it. All right, we'll be back right after this.
Leave your five in the comments.